here on Money Life. Here's our biggest interview. And I'm very pleased to say that because we get a little extra time chatting with Ron Sanchez. He is the Chief Investment Officer at Fiduciary Trust Company International. And if you want more information, it's fiduciarytrust.com. But what I would really suggest you do is go take a look at Ron Sanchez's insights. You can find that at fiduciarytrust.com with a lot of stuff after it. So if you go to the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page, you will get a link to his most recent commentary, some of which we're going to discuss here. But you can also figure out how to follow his work and make sure you're not missing anything. And speaking of that, one other way to make sure you're not missing anything with the company, follow them on Twitter where they are at Fiduciary Trust. Ron Sanchez, welcome back to Money Life.
Great. Thanks, Chuck.
It's been a while since we've had you on the show, and let me tell you, we have, of course, seen the market go in a lot of different directions, right? And you wrote about it because basically we got to the new year, and we were seeing people have a crisis in confidence, and then we saw a fabulous January. So crisis averted, but confidence, is it back yet?
I think it has. I think what we experienced, and this is the communication that you referenced that we sent out to clients, is as you follow markets from the fourth quarter, we were down about 13%. And as we moved into December, markets started to really freefall. We saw a lot of downside pressure. We moved from kind of a re-rating of markets to a de-risking. Markets were pulled. There was heavy selling pressure. And we felt like if you looked at the price action, it was very reminiscent of 2008, a true financial crisis. And so we felt kind of an urgency to communicate that we felt it was more of a crisis of confidence around a number of very important policy issues that were confusing and not yet resolved. And I'm referring to concerns about fiscal stimulus in 18 waning towards the 18 and into 19, and an economy that was slowing materially, which was not our view, but investors were concerned about that. They were concerned that monetary policy was on a preset course, and that the Federal Reserve was close to making a policy error. And markets were also concerned about the uncertainty about trade, just how complicated it is, and that that would also work out quite negatively. And those are a lot of assumptions and a lot of risk that investors were dealing with. And I think what we kind of viewed them as outcomes that were uncertain, but not had yet concluded that all of those outcomes would be negative and would negatively impact the market. And so we rode through that kind of crisis of confidence. And I think I'm happy to say that obviously markets have recalibrated, reset the narrative to be a little more balanced, and in some instances a little more sanguine about the economy and about the prospects for trade. And you see a pretty significant V-shaped recovery into not only January, but so far into February as well.
And yet, for all the things that were making people have a crisis in confidence, the truth is that none of them are necessarily out of the danger zone yet. We haven't resolved a lot of stuff. We can see some resolution on it, but I've had guests on the show tell me everything from no more Fed rate hikes this year to still three more Fed rate hikes this year. We've had people saying, no, you're going to see the China fight play out until it's opportune for somebody to claim victory. We've had others say, no, they're already claiming victory and let's just get it over with. I mean, all that's really changed is that the market made it that we could look at our portfolios and not go, wow, this is getting ugly. Or am I missing something? I mean, we're through a crisis in confidence, but nothing's changed, has it?
So we do not have resolution on those three main points that we talked about. And uncertainty is still the narrative. Having said that, I do think there are a couple of meaningful developments. One, I think investors started to build in that 2019, from an economic standpoint, would experience a sudden and sharp deceleration of economic activity. some even espousing a view that we would enter recession in 2019. And I think the economic data, although moderating from 2018, we have seen early in 19 some pretty good data around around employment. Retail sales was not, about a week ago, was not particularly strong. But I think there's, if you look at some charts, many investors now conclude that you will not enter a recession in 19 and have pushed that out to 20 and 21. So I think that's a meaningful change with respect to a base view of the economy. But perhaps more importantly, it dovetails with the Federal Reserve that has pivoted. And so investors are still trying to figure out the path of monetary policy. It has been confusing. And admittedly, the messaging from the Federal Reserve has also contributed to that. But I think as we sit here today, one of the most meaningful developments over the last 5 or 6 weeks has been greater confidence that the Fed will be on hold, will take a pause, will assess the path of the economy, which was very strong in 18, and see what degree it is moderating in 19. We'll see how economies outside of the U.S. progress. They were very slow. We had a, from a global perspective, had a decoupling. The U.S. was very strong in 18, and economies outside of the U.S. were particularly weak. And that obviously influences global trade. And so I think the Federal Reserve is taking a time out here in the first half of 2019. They are talking about and will demonstrate flexibility and an openness to where they are on monetary policy. And we are truly data dependent. So for the time being, I think investors as well as the Federal Reserve will see how things play out on three critical areas. Where are we in the early first half of 19 with respect to global growth? We'll hold interest rates stable. We'll get an idea of what transpires with respect to the March 1 trade policy deadline with China, and how things play out just a month later at the end of March with respect to Brexit. Those are meaningful events and developments. And the Federal Reserve will be on the sidelines, will be on their hands, so to speak, and assess them along with markets. And that is comforting.
Yeah, it is. Does that ultimately also mean that we kind of expect the market to go sideways from here until we get that resolution? I mean, for some people, what we've actually seen thus far in 2019 is what they were expecting for the whole year. So they could shut it down and go sideways from here and be pretty happy. But that's not what we're necessarily going to live. The market day to day is going to do different things. So would you mostly expect that between those countervailing forces, we wind up with a flat market, at least until there's resolution?
I do. I think there's I'd call it a the market, obviously, and the media refer to it as a rally that we've experienced. I actually sometimes really like to look at it as a recovery of the sell-off, because I thought the sell-off was overdone. And so if I look back at the middle of February and I look at the return profile for the S&P 500 from the end of 12/31/17, or essentially 18 plus another month and a half, I returned about 6%. That makes sense to me from a return standpoint. And I think that markets struggle to get that return profile right by the end of the year. Everyone looks at returns on a calendar year. I just look at it from here on, 13 and a half months. If I look at the trailing, I'm about 6.5%. And two things happened. One, I had a very, very strong earnings, over 20% in 2018. I had the best economic data in a decade. And my valuations compressed down to, from above 18 down to around 16. And from here on, I think it's, again, a 6% return profile. I think we do our range bound here for a while at this kind of 2,700, 2,800 level. But if we get positive catalyst on trade, we get a better idea of the trajectory of the economy. I think markets can grind higher, but we're in a challenging return environment and a reasonable return environment.
Is there any catalyst for markets to at some point turn negative? I mean, grinding higher is great. I'm happy to get rich slowly, but is there anything here where, you know, as much as we don't know the outcome could be so negative that it rains the game?
So there are a couple of things that are always present downside risk to the economy that aren't always factored in. So I do think that markets would come under pressure if we were to see a escalation of tariffs. All right. And so we don't have to resolve it, but I do think we have to come out with a framework on March 1. We have to continue talks, and we cannot reset tariffs, because I think both that China is its economic data is decelerating in 2018. And if we got into a true trade war and tariff war, and that economic weakness was even more pronounced in 19 for China, that'd be a problem. Our view is that we see stabilization outside the U.S. If you don't get stabilization, I think markets do come under pressure here.
Let's turn our talk from broad topics to maybe which areas of the market and what parts of the world you're interested in. We've gotten some very divergent opinions recently on emerging markets, so and also on even developed Europe. So I'm curious, as you're trying to decide where you want to be investing, where in the world do you want to go, and where do you think in the world you want to avoid?
So actually, we are looking first at global equity. We think and we're positioning portfolios for clients to be aligned with their long-term strategic objectives. All right, so we're not overweight or underweight. I do think you should be neutral here. You should be close to your long-term objectives. Markets have been recovering and rallying for a decade. We are late cycle, so the best of the returns are behind us. But I think it's too early to become defensive. So we are generally neutral on risk assets or global equity. And within that global construct, we are also neutral from a region standpoint. So potentially for different reasons. So in the U.S., we think that the valuations are fair, that earnings will be reasonable, earnings growth in terms of around 5% and 6%, and that the economy is in good shape. And I have a supportive Fed here for 6 months. So that backdrop is appealing to me from a return standpoint. When I look outside the U.S., I think the bar is low. We have weak growth outside. I think expectations around Europe growth and emerging growth are pretty low. I think valuations are certainly lower than in the U.S. And if we did get some resolution on trade and monetary policy that's on hold, I think you could see, if we saw a stabilization or maybe even a little bit of surprise on economic data in Europe. It has been particularly poor after a very robust 2017. Global resynchronization into 18 hit a wall. You move from global resynchronization to decoupling, meaning the U.S. was the only economy that did well and everything else did poorly. If you saw a resync to the upside there, and you saw some modest improvement in Europe and emerging market, with given where valuations are, I think that's an area where you want to be represented and you want to be neutral. But again, I don't see an overweight in any of those areas.
So there's not the interesting thing here is where we started. We were talking about confidence, and you had written about confidence back at the start of the year and how confidence has changed. And what we've really said through all of this, and tell me if I'm wrong, is that, well, the confidence level has risen, but there's not a lot of reason to be anything more than just kind of quietly confident. You shouldn't have really high expectations. You also shouldn't have really low expectations. You don't have to have the nervousness that you had, but you shouldn't be giddy about anything. Is that the right way to sum it up?
That is spot on. And we tend to term that that we're constructive, meaning we think things unfold. It's positively. It is a elongated economic recovery, and you want to participate, but you also want to acknowledge that this has been a very long cycle. It is one that has benefited markets more than the economy. We have seen great returns in financial markets that are in and above the benefits to Main Street, so to speak. And so we are constructive, any term like bullish and rallying, I think is more challenged. It is a challenging environment, modest returns, but positive.
You know, that I think we should take that exactly as it was meant. It's constructive. It's the right place to be. Quite honestly, we should be there potentially at times when everybody else is getting a little bit giddy. But it's definitely where to be right now, where, boy, there seem to be a lot of people pointing in both directions and ramping up emotions in either way. Ron, this has been great. Thanks so much for taking the time out to join me.
You bet. Thank you.
That's Ron Sanchez, everybody. He is Chief Investment Officer at Fiduciary Trust Company International. They're on Twitter at Fiduciary Trust. They're online at fiduciarytrust.com. And to find the commentary that I was talking about, well, go to the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page. Find Ron there, and you'll find a link that gets you directly there. All right, it's been a great day and part of a great week. So we'll be back to wrap things up, tell you what's coming next week before we send you home for the weekend right after this message.